Hello, I'm Jim Richardson. I tell you, we've got a great broadcast for you today. We're going to talk about something that is absolutely essential to keep you from getting messed up when you start looking at the concept of grace. We're going to be talking about the purpose of grace in your life. You see, God has a purpose in everything He does, and sometimes we'll get a hold of a biblical truth. We'll know what the truth is, but we've got a different purpose than God has. And we're saying all the right words, and we think we're doing all the right things, but because we're pursuing a different purpose, it just ends up in a big mess. Listen, everybody you know that's struggling with grace, fighting about grace, think they know all about grace, post this on Facebook, send them a message, be an internet evangelist to help us reach out and get people established in the biblical concepts of grace so that we can live the righteousness of God, walk in love, have victory in our lives, and be who we really want to be in Jesus. It's going to be a great program. Get ready. Grace, the Power to Change is a book and a CD series that I taught years ago that introduced the power of God in ways that we never, ever, ever knew before. You see, grace is God's power. Grace is God's ability, God's strength, God's capacity to transform your life independent of your personal strength. I want to tell you, this incredible book and CD series is going to transform your life. It's going to help you reach goals you never knew you could reach. You know, understanding God's purposes in any situation keeps us from getting confused, off track, and messed up. You know, God gave the law not to make man righteous, but God gave the law so we'd know how to relate to each other and so we'd understand some things about God. I mean, there were a lot of other purposes behind it. But man changed that and said, if I'll do this, this will make me right before God. So you see, he took a truth, he took something that was real, but he changed the purpose that God had gave him. It's just like the Apostle Paul said in the book of Timothy. He said, all of my instruction is given to you for this reason. And then he tells them the reason. The sad thing is we take Paul's instruction, we try to apply it for a different reason. We end up off course and messed up and confused. I want to tell you something. God's not the author of chaos. You don't have to be in confusion. And in this thing about grace, I promise you this. If your purpose is for the grace of God do not align with God's purposes for the grace of God, you will end up in trouble. You'll end up shipwrecked. You'll end up really out here living some kind of crazy, reckless life. In the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 8th verse, we're going back to this. The Apostle Paul says, for by grace you have been saved, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, set apart, participate in all the kingdom by grace through faith. And that not of yourself. In other words, this is not of works. This is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Grace is the power of God, the capacity of God, the strength of God that comes by your unmerited favor. It works in your heart. It's a free gift. But it makes you able. It makes you powerful. It makes you have the capacity to think like you've never thought, go where you've never been, do what you've never done, see what you can never see, and understand what you have never understood. And I'm telling you what, it makes you able to live in every one of the promises of God. It makes you able to be who you really want to be. And none of this is of works, because if it was of works, first of all, you would boast. You would make it all about you instead of about Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. People who reject the message of grace, really they're self-righteous. It's about them. It's about them obeying enough rules to get God to answer the prayers. It's about them making enough sacrifices so that they get the anointing or whatever it is they're trying to do, but it's all about them. Now, you know, you say the words Jesus, you use Jesus' name, you know, when you pray, but I want to tell you, if in your mind you're praying a prayer, you may say in the name of Jesus at the end of it, but in the back of your mind, you're saying, it's because of man, I'm a man of faith, because I've done enough of this. I've given. I've done all of these right things. Then it's really, you're boasting in yourself, even though with your lips you're acknowledging Jesus. Your heart's really far from it. Now listen to this. It says, so we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works. Let's see, mention boast. Now listen to this. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship. In other words, when grace works in us, it's not something we can boast about, but it's something that we can boast in God about because we recognize that this is not willpower. This is just not our strength. I'm telling you, I was walking around this morning praying, and I was just telling God, you know, that I, even though I'm righteous in Jesus, I realize that in myself, in my ability, in my strength, I would still be a big loser. I might do a little better, but I still don't have what it takes to live this life. And you know, it's not me. It's not my works. It's not my capacity. It's not my strength. I'm telling you, it is God's strength. It is God's capacity. I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now listen, this right here is where the rubber meets the road. This is where people get confused. This is where people get off track. This is where people set out on their own purpose about grace rather than acknowledging and walking in God's purpose. You see, God says that all of this is in us and all of this is by grace and faith. Because God has called us to these good works. Now, there are people that will say, I'm under the grace of God, so I'm just free from works. Well, that's really, really stupid. What you're free from is you're free from dead works, not free from good works. As a matter of fact, what you're empowered for, what grace does is grace empowers you so that you can do good works. Now, the thing that people get confused about good works and about dead works really is the reason you do them. You know, I use this example all the time. You can have two people that, you know, get up on a Sunday morning and, you know, they wake up and one of them says, oh man, it's Sunday. I don't really want to go to church, but you know, I got to. If I don't go to church, God won't bless me. If I don't go to church, you know, God won't hear my prayers. Dead works. Guy lives next door to him. He gets up and says, man, it's Sunday morning. I don't feel like going there. But you know what? I really want to connect. I want to worship. I want to enjoy God. I want to fellowship. You know, he's got a reason for going, and that's good works. They both go to church, and, you know, the music is playing, and one guy is standing there going, oh, man, I don't even feel like doing this. It's stupid to me. But, I'm going to clap my hands if I don't. Everybody think I'm not spiritual, you know. Dead works. The other guy's saying, you know, I don't feel like worshiping, but you know what? I do. I want to connect with God. I want to express my love to God. So he claps his hands. He raises his hand. Good works. See, they're doing the same things, but the reason for doing them is different. I mean, every aspect of what we do can be good works or dead works based on what's going on inside of us. And when we do good works, we want to acknowledge that Christ is in us and that we are in Him. The Holy Spirit's at work inside of us, that we're doing what we do. All of these things are happening because Christ in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. So we mentioned this last week, and the foundations of the faith, and by the way, you can go through our foundations of faith for free. You can go through our Living Under Lordship 1-year mentoring program that'll take you, I mean, from the sinner's prayer that you prayed all the way through the foundations of faith, all the way through how to have a victorious life. It's a 1-year free program. And in the foundations of the faith, you're going to learn intimately and explicitly about all of the things that God says are the very foundations of your faith and how to stay stable all the time. But he says this, the very cornerstone of the faith, of the new covenant faith is this. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now, this phrase, not laying again the foundation, in the Greek, this has two meanings. One meaning means that we're not going to cast away the foundation. The other meaning is that we're not going to keep laying it. And what he's saying is, he's telling these people in the book of Hebrews, listen, we've got to move on to perfection, and we can't do it and cast away the foundations of the faith, but we also can't keep on laying this over and over again. You got to get this. You got to make this part of your foundation. See, that's part of the problem. People are so unstable in the very cornerstone foundation of the gospel that they throw it away and they go off into weird doctrines, or they're so immature that they just have to hear it over and over and over again. That's because they're not established in their heart. It's only a doctrine in their mind. And that's why we have heart physics, so people can establish the gospel, the truth, the foundation in their heart, not just in their mind. Because if it's just in your mind, you only do it when you remember it. But I'm going to tell you something. If it's in your heart, then it's just there all the time. It's always working in you. And in our heart, we need to have this established that we have repented, we've changed our mind from dead works. In other words, I have no confidence in my works. I realize that I need to walk in love. I realize I need to do a lot of things for the benefit of other people. I realize that if I love people, I will treat people the way God says that I should treat them. And if I realize I don't have love, that me and God got to work this out. Doesn't mean I'm not saved. It just means I've got to work this out. I've got to connect to God. I've got to experience the love of God, or whatever I've got to do to walk this process through. But you see, I want to do the right things, but I want to do the right things for the right reasons. I want to do godly things for godly reasons. You see, I don't want to just obey a bunch of rules when I can remember them. I want the love of God working inside me to compel me to treat people right, treat my wife and friends right, to treat God right. You know, I had somebody get really, really mad at me one time because you know, they were talking about this whole issue of sin doesn't mean anything to God. And it's like, really? Really? Because the book of Hebrews says that when we willfully continue in sin, we just count the blood of Jesus as nothing. You know, I'm telling you, it wronging God, the life that we live, I believe can grieve the Father that loves us. I believe it can grieve his heart when he sees us hurt, when he sees us suffer. This is a relationship. We're created the likeness of God, an image of God. If we grieve, then he grieves. And God loves us so incredibly much. Now listen, I want to do the right things, but I want to do them for the right reasons. I want to live in good works, not dead works. And the moment I find myself doing something for the wrong reason, I'm not necessarily going to stop doing it, but I'm going to stop. And on this spot, I'm going to correct my intention. I'm going to correct the reason that I'm doing this. So he says that, see, when we repent, when we change our mind from dead works, we immediately then shift toward faith in God. Now, shifting toward faith in God takes me to the place where I have to believe what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to believe that based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I have to believe that I'm righteous in him. I have to believe that I am dead to all the curse of the law. I have to believe that I am raised up in righteousness. I have to believe that I have absolute victory over the devil because I am in Christ and what is his is mine. I'm a joint heir with him, you see. And when I believe that, when my hope is in him, not in me, then the grace of God comes alive inside me. Now, Galatians 2:20 is one of those scriptures we used to sing a lot in church. It says, "For I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, almost anybody who has studied the Bible much, walked with God much, knows Galatians 2:20. But you know, nearly no one knows Galatians 2:21. So he's talking about living this life where we are dead. We are dead to our flesh. We don't rely on our flesh. And this life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, by faith in the Son of God. I mean, every aspect of that. So I am alive and I am righteous because of the faith of the Son of God. Jesus obtained righteousness with his faith, and because I am in him, I am righteous. I'm not just positionally righteous. I tell you, a good friend of mine, Ron Marcourt, wrote a book where he talked about the identity of the believer, and he talks about how ludicrous the doctrine of positional righteousness is. You know, that's just a fancy way of saying it's mine legally, but it's really not mine. You know, we are either righteous or we're not. And we got to believe that we are righteous. And if we believe we are righteous, the grace of God comes alive inside of us. So Galatians 2:20 is talking about living the crucified life where I don't depend on the strength of my willpower. I don't depend on any aspect of my flesh. But then he says something incredibly interesting. He says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Now, here's something that I hear people say all the time, and it's theologically incorrect. People say, "I am free from the law." Well, I think I understand what most people mean by that, and probably what people mean is a little closer to what I'm about to say. You see, the Bible really doesn't say we're free from the law. It says we're free from the law for righteousness, Romans 10:4. Now, In other words, if I want to walk in love, then I look at the law, and the law tells me how to treat people if I love them. Now, you can treat people that way and not love them, and you're just obeying a list of rules, and you know what? At least you're treating people right. But the reality of it is, if I'm walking in love, then I'm going to find myself treating people the way that God says I should treat them. I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to steal from them. You know, I'm not going to covet and try to take away from them what belongs to them. And here's the same thing with God. If I love God, I'm not going to have idols. I'm not going to have, you know, vain imaginations. I'm not going to, I'm not going to put things between me and God. And under the new covenant, whenever we connect with the love of God, then it just, love compels us to do the things that under the old covenant, the law said that we should do. So the law, you know, when Paul wrote to people and talked to them about how they lived, and when he gave them standards about how to, you know, about godliness or righteousness or morality, every bit of that came out of the law. Matter of fact, like I said, Jesus said, don't think that I have come to do away with the law. He said, not one jot or tittle of the law, shall pass away. The law is fulfilled in Christ, but that word fulfilled doesn't mean that it's come to pass and gone away. The law is fulfilled in the sense that it has reached its ultimate expression and purpose in Him. And so in Him, I find myself doing what the law said, even though I didn't know it was in the law. Even though I didn't know that it was in the Scripture. Even though I didn't know it was the Word of God. Even though I didn't know it was a part of the old covenant. But you see, here's the deal. I'm not doing any of it to earn righteousness from God. You know, the word righteous basically means as it should be. You see, if I'm in Jesus and if I believe that, then I believe I am as I should be. If I believe I am as I should be, then it's hard for me to see myself or allow myself to do things that are not as they should be or as they should be done. And so you start seeing that good works are emerging out of your own heart, not because you've memorized a list of rules. You see that doing the right thing is coming because, man, you have something deep and powerful that's compelling you, that's greater than right and wrong, you know, legal or illegal. You start realizing that the love of God inside you is working and producing in you what the law alone could never produce in you. So the moment, now see, remember, grace, we're talking about grace for a purpose. So what is the purpose of grace? So a lot of people say, well, I'm under grace. Well, to what end? For what purpose? Because you see, the Apostle Paul said that grace has a purpose, and that purpose is that God's workmanship would manifest in us and empower us to good works. Frees us from dead works, but empowers us to good works. That we can be the person we want to be. Let me tell you something. America and the world is struggling with a self-worth crisis. But let me give you a little heads up. You can't feel right about yourself and do people wrong. You can't have, this sense of dignity and worth and this sense of peace and this sense of just, you know, holding your head up high, this confidence and that comes because of who you are. You can't have that and do people wrong. The Bible says your heart will always condemn you, and it'll always affect your prayer life. And even though God's bigger than your heart, it's still going to have this incredible effect on you. And in fact, the Apostle Paul says you can't even participate in kingdom living whenever you live in lawlessness. He didn't say that you're not saved. He said you just can't participate in this realm that we know of as the kingdom of God, because in this realm, it's all about who we are, how we treat people. I mean, how we receive from God. It's all consuming, and it's all about who we are as people, and therefore ultimately the life that we live. Now, the moment that I look to the law, and in this case, you know, Paul was talking about the whole issue of circumcision. But the moment I look to any rule to make me righteous, I have now neutralized the grace of God. It doesn't mean that grace is, that I'm not saved anymore. It means I have now neutralized or made void or nullified grace. In other words, the moment I start to live by my own strength, God's strength cannot work in me. Man, that's a tragic thing. You know, the book of Hebrews warns us over in Hebrews 12. It warns us to put aside every sin, every weight, anything that can set us off course. We've got to be able to run this race. And then basically he says, watch yourself lest you fail or fall from grace. Now, you know, we usually think about the term falling from grace as losing your salvation. And people fight over, you know, all that. And they got to fight over it. I don't have time to fight over that. But actually, when the Bible talks about failing or falling from grace, in the original language, it's talking about leaving this realm where grace works in you. Leaving this place where God's strength manifests, where God's ability manifests. Leaving this place of taking and experiencing and expressing this gift of righteousness. And it says that when you leave the place of grace, it says the root of bitterness will spring up and it'll defile many. Now, you know what I've seen in most of the bitter Christians? I've seen that most of them tried to make some kind of sacrifice to get God to answer their prayers. Most of them obeyed a list of rules. Most of them in some shape, form, or fashion felt like that they had done enough of something to make God indebted to them. And they didn't get the answer to their prayer. They didn't get the healing they needed for themselves or their child or somebody. They didn't get the finances. They didn't get the job. Things did not come out the way they thought they should have come out based on their efforts or their works. You see, they left grace. And when you feel like that you have paid the payment for something, when you feel like you've made the sacrifice for something, and it doesn't come to pass in your life, you're going to be angry at God, and you're going to feel like God's unfair. You're going to feel like God has cheated you, and bitterness is going to spring up in you. But here's the thing about this root of bitterness. It doesn't just defile you. It defiles everybody around you. Nobody backslides by themselves. They always take somebody with them, whether they mean to or not. Now, I want to tell you something. You've got to repent of your dead works. You've got to change your mind. You've got to realize that God's grace has always been there for you, always will be there for you. You will never face a situation where God's grace is not sufficient. And when God's grace works in you, you may move the mountain. You may walk over the mountain. You may walk through the mountain. Or you may endure the mountain. But however it comes out, you will have the strength to live in victory and overcome the effects of whatever opposition that you're facing. God wants His grace to work in you. God wants you to experience the fullness of His grace. God wants you to live a life that looks like the life of Jesus because He was covered over with, He was permeated with, He was grace manifest. Now, all the victories in His life, all the victory over sin, all the victory over the devil, all the victory over circumstances, all the victory over opposition, all the victories that he had them because He was filled with and yielding to the grace of God. Grace is God's power that works in you. And I promise you this, no matter what you're facing, grace will work in you to get you through it. If you believe the truth about the finished work of Jesus, believe that you're in Him, believe that's all yours. Stick around. I want to share something with you in just a few minutes. You know, Jesus asked this question. He said, are you tired? Are you burnt out? Are you worn out on religion? He says, come to me, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to realize something. When they used the word yoke in Jesus' time, they were talking about His doctrine, His philosophy of ministry. He says, if you buy into what I believe, this is going to be easy and it's going to be light. Grace, the power to change, is going to give you the resources, the tools, everything you need to know about how to access the grace of God. God's unlimited power that works in you, that establishes you in righteousness. God's unlimited power that works in you to manifest His miracles, His gifts, His healings. Everything that God has is a work of grace and faith. And grace, the power to change, is going to give you everything you need to be able to live the life of your dreams. You know, the Bible tells us that grace is something that works from our heart. That's the reason I created the Heart Physics Program. I realize that most people are trying to connect to God in their brain, not their heart. If you've never done Heart Physics, be sure and go to heartphysics.com and check it out and connect with Christ in your heart. And I'll tell you what, if you have done Heart Physics, you've done Essential Heart Physics, and you want to develop yourself, you want to come to the place where no matter where you are in any situation, you can immediately connect to your heart, therefore connect to the grace of God, then be sure and be at our Advanced Heart Physics Weekend, October the 18th through the 20th, right here in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be for people who want to go beyond what you can get in a program and want to learn how to live out of their heart in a more deliberate way. Remember, the grace of God is in you for a purpose. God wants to manifest His workmanship in you. He wants to manifest Jesus in you. In other words, He wants the quality of your life to be the same quality of life that Jesus experienced. So that's why we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. We should be living here on earth just like God would have us live in heaven. And that happens because of the grace of God in our life. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the top three areas where you feel like your life is just not what it could be, what it should be. And remember, that's what righteousness is, as it should be. And so if there's areas of your life, and it may be areas of your character, and let me encourage you in this, don't turn character development into legalism, but don't ever give up on character development, because in reality, your life as a whole will never rise above your character. Because no matter what God does to bless you, no matter how God seeks to help you, if you have corrupt character, you'll always mess it up. You'll always keep creating chaos in your life. You can't be a liar and have peace in your life. You can't be a liar and have peace in your soul. You know, you can't be somebody that never takes care of yourself, eats horribly, and just always believe God for energy and health. You know, in an ideal world, yes, you could probably do that. But, you know, we're not in an ideal world. We're in a world here where we need wisdom, we need self-control, we need these things work in our life. Make a list of the top three places where you're saying, you know, I'm not happy with this. I know God loves me. And then be sure just to verbally acknowledge, I love and I accept myself with this problem. And then find you a scriptural promise and begin to acknowledge it, because you're in Jesus, you have the grace of God to live that promise and overcome that problem. You're on your way out.